On this episode of Innovation Ambassadors, we're showcasing the journey of TaxDown, a startup reshaping tax management in Spain and Latin America. We'll explore their work with the prototyping team to leverage GenAI solutions to expand their platform to meet growing demands, and learn how they simplify tax planning and maximize tax breaks for their customers by providing immediate, accurate responses to customer inquiries. Well, I'm excited to welcome Joaquin Fernandez, founder and CTO of TaxDown. Joaquin, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Happy to be here.
And also joining us from TaxDown is the head of data and AI, Alvaro Carrera. Alvaro, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Very excited to be here.
From our AWS prototyping team, we have Manuel Marquez, Senior Prototyping Engagement Manager. Manuel, great to see you.
Thank you, Sarah.
So, Joaquin, for our international audience, can you tell us a little bit about the story of TaxDown?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I guess TaxDown was born somewhere in the beginning of 2018. I had come back from San Francisco, where I have lived for many years, and I had to do my taxes. So I asked friends and family, like, hey, how do you do this here? And the response that I had always was, you hire a tax consultant or you use the tax agency's software tool. So I was amazed because in the US, I used TurboTax, and then you had like plenty of other options, software options to do your taxes. And then one of my co-founders, Alvaro, got together the three of us, the three founders, the founding team, and say like, okay, guys, like we have to do something. I think we are great, great professionals. And if we got together, we can build something meaningful and had impact. And then we agreed, like we made a good founding team, or at least we thought so. And then we went in a very consultish way because both of them are consultants. They had to have lists. So they put together 100 ideas. We ranked them in different dimensions like business, leverage and what we wanted to do and so on. And we got to 10 finalists. We did a business case on each, on the market, the possible, like the addressable market and so on. And eventually, like very non-romantic, I know, like eventually we got to the finalist that was TaxDown. That was the one that we actually pursued, and which is your tax advisor for anything you need.
Fantastic. So really having, bringing that ability to bring software and decision into the tax process for Spanish taxpayers?
When we started TaxDown, we thought, or what we wanted to do is create something that had impact. And we all believe, or at least I believe, that you can have an impact on society by entrepreneurship. And we always wanted to help people. So in Spain, you have a lot of tax breaks. And these tax breaks is just you can deduct money from what you owe to the tax agency by applying them. But the thing is, like, they're mostly targeted to low income or low resources people. Low resources, so that we can all think about, it's less than 35,000 euros per year. And that people is the one that has the least access to tax advisors that will actually apply or think about applying them to them. So it's a list maybe or like 20, 30 tax breaks that you can go for. And then each tax advisor has to know how to apply in all of them. So it's a very cumbersome process, and you have to pay a lot for that. And these people that has low resources are the ones that can apply to it. So in the heart of TaxDown has always been, and it still is, to try the software, like you can use the software for free. You can see if any tax breaks apply to you. And then if you want us to help you filing the tax return, then you become a subscriber. And so going back to the tax agency, like they don't apply with the tax tool, and with the tax agency's tool, they don't apply these tax breaks to you. You have to put them in. Mm-hmm. You also, like, they give you a draft so that you can file with it, but then they don't ensure you that it is okay. Common misconception is that if you accept what they send you, it's going to be all right. And that's something that we have to work through, like the Spanish population or taxpayers, that you actually need to check it and that it's not okay. Yes, with the tax, what the tax agency gives you.
So making sure that really those tax breaks that were meant for the folks who they were created for actually are able to access those in a way that's safe and reliable for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wonderful. And so Alvaro, maybe you can talk us through a little bit about how you went about building such a capability.
In the process that Joaquin was explaining, a good part of the value proposition is replying to every question that the customer may have, right? And also like going through the process with them, and through the process, they have a lot of questions on, we need to go back and forth with some questions or ask the customer even like, you change this data, is this data okay? Or what? When did you acquire, for example, this home that you are trying to get a tax break for, right? So 2 years ago, we realized that half of our operational cost was spent on this part, like at hiring tax experts that will be available to reply the customer questions. Mm-hmm. And also, so by the time we were growing, and we are still are growing 2x or 3x every year, and we cannot hire 2 or 3 times as many experts every year because that doesn't scale. And we, as a software company, we want to be able to scale with software and not with that many people, right? Because it doesn't, you cannot hire and prepare as many people every year. So we began looking into ways of optimizing the time that a tax expert takes to reply to a customer question. And then by the time the first foundational models were emerging, so we started experimenting with a solution, and we came up with the idea of having a copilot, kind of like we as a software engineer have, that we will get the next line of code suggested by the copilot. So we suggest the tax expert a reply, and then they just verify that the information that we are providing is correct. And they get to choose if they send it directly or they edit it. And by doing this, we were able to save 30% of the time that a tax expert takes to reply to the customer questions. And also, it's very important to remark that there's always a human in the loop, because we are legally responsible for the advice that we provide to the customers. So the question, before it reaches the customer, it will always get reviewed by an expert.
So Joaquin, you had the system set up. How did you come to work with Manuel and the prototyping team?
So we got a heads up by one of our investors, Jamie, that there was a contest or like an initiative going on in AWS Iberia, and it was the AWS Unicorns Lab, and it was searching or looking for companies, for startups that wanted or were going to build some AI product. I reached out to our account manager, and we agreed that it was a good chance for us to get into this program, because even though we already had a prototype, we had to scale it, we had to put it on production, we had to build all the pieces and make it a scale, and we could definitely use the help of AWS there. And then that's how we got to work with Manuel and another 2 engineers of AWS for 5 weeks, which I think it was, for us at least, it was very helpful, and we learned a lot. Yeah, and I think it has been a success, and definitely because we are here at the AWS Innovation Podcast, so.
Fantastic. Tell us a little bit about Unicorn Lab, Manuel.
Sure. So within the prototyping team, we aim to accelerate the adoption of emerging technologies for our AWS customers. And the startup organization within Iberia had the idea of how to leverage our team with all of these startups that were trying to leverage this GenAI as emerging technology. And as Joaquin mentioned, they asked VCs for leads on which startups had good use cases. A fun fact here, or fun part of the story, is that when we got the nominations, I had to inhibit myself, because I actually know the 2 of the founding members of TaxDown from college. But I did inhibit myself. So the voting went through the startups organization. And I would say what really stood out of the TaxDown use case was, as Alvaro already hinted towards, is they were really thinking about their business, not trying to fit GenAI into anything, but they really had a problem that they wanted to solve through GenAI, which was one of the main facts. The second I would say is that, of course, TaxDown has a very deep domain knowledge, and we think that is really interesting when you're talking about GenAI and all of these emerging technologies, that you are able to leverage a differentiating factor, and in this case, being their own domain knowledge. And the third and last one, that they had already started with the experimentation phase, that they were thinking about operationalization of Gen AI, that they were thinking more of how can we create this into a product. And all of these were challenges, or the last one was a really interesting challenge for us that where AWS can help, right?
Absolutely. So I love that. Looking for folks who are working backwards from their customers, right? And Alvaro, a small world, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a small world, actually. I got the surprise because as I was told by Joaquin that we won the Unicorns Lab, and then I got an invite for a meeting that was organized by Manu Marquez, which I had to go to LinkedIn and make sure that it was the Manu Marquez from college that I used to play rugby with. It was a fun discovery.
It's such a small world. So tell us a little bit about the technology estate that you had before the prototype, and then what you were trying to achieve in this 5 weeks with Manuel and the team.
Yeah. So as I mentioned before, we got the first version of our Copilot, which was a naive retrieval augmented generation, which is normally called as known as RAG, which is because we need to provide updated information. These all the LLMs are trained up to 1 day, and everything that happens after that day, they don't get to know, right? So you need to provide them with updated information. And for example, the tax law changes every year, so you need to provide with updated information about the tax breaks. So we will get the Spanish tax law. We will chunk it into smaller passages, like a couple of paragraphs each. Then we will index it. And then whenever we get a question from a customer, we will search those relevant passages, get the ones that we consider relevant, and add them to the prompt. So the model will always have the most updated information to reply to the customer, which in theory is a good enough solution. The reality is that it's very hard to find those passages accurately, especially if you are not working in English. And 90% of our customers speaking Spanish, so we need to focus on Spanish, right? And at the end, half the time, we were not finding the most relevant passages. And then the next step that we were thinking about is specializing, instead of having just one expert that will reply to all the questions, we will have different experts specialized in different type of questions. So for example, we will have a service expert, which knows the plans that we provide and what's included in which plan. But then if you have a question for a tax break, it will not be replied by that expert. We will have a different expert that is focused on tax breaks that will have its own RAG service with its own passages that will be able to reply more accurately to your question. So we had all this idea in our head, and then the prototyping team came and helped us materializing this into an step function that it has different steps. Because first we need to split the message from the user into different questions. As if you write an email to your tax expert, you may include more than one question. So in order to send them to the right expert, we first need to split that message into different questions, right? And from there, all those questions are processed in parallel through the step function. Then we classify each of these questions into the right type. So we will send it to the right expert, which then reply to that question. And then we have a final step that is merging all those questions, one or more questions, into the final message that we will display to the tax expert, and that it may end up in the customer. And also one detail that was very relevant, or ended up being really very relevant, is adding X-ray for tracing all this process. Because as I was saying, we have at least four steps, and then we may have more than one question, which we parallelize, and it's very easy to lose track of what's going on for the whole generation. So by tracing it with X-ray, we can look into each step and getting to know what's going behind the scenes.
And using for troubleshooting and refinement of the model, of what models you're using, et cetera.
Yeah.
And actually, that's a great segue into one of the topics we always cover in this podcast, which is about failure or about experimentation. you know, being not an experiment if something, if you know the answer already, right? So that failure and invention, inseparable twins. Manuel, was there something here that was something that we had to overcome, or a fail, something that you might think at first was a failure, but you were able to use that as a learning?
We probably tackled two different things, I would say. First, as Alvaro has mentioned, on the scalability and the monitoring part and the observability. But then the second was on trying to get better and better accuracy on their actual RAG results, right? And for that, it was key to have a good framework to start with. And of course, the TaxDown team had some labeled data, which is key also to iterate and measure correctly. But then we started listing experiments that we wanted to run, and each one getting a metric that we could then decide on whether to continue with the experiment or not. And I think we tested several of those, some that may sound more common. So, for example, we fine-tuned an embedding model to try and make it more targeted towards, as Alvaro was saying, to the Spanish language and to the niche topic of tax returns, which, of course, it's not very common. But then we had also some a bit more of out of the box, I would say, and surprisingly, that worked quite well, which we called augmented question generation. So typically, a RAG works with mapping the user question to the answers that, as Alvaro was saying, is usually chunked and limited to specific paragraphs. And we turned it a little bit around, saying, okay, so what are the typical questions that a user would generate that are answered by this paragraph? And then our RAG system would map the user questions to the synthetic questions, which we, of course, knew which was the paragraph that would answer those. And that led to actually some very higher accuracy results. And all of this, of course, we were able to do very fast and iteratively by leveraging SageMaker, which led us to testing many different combinations of this. So we also ended up doing the combined embedding plus synthetic question generation.
Mm-hmm. Alvaro, that iterative approach, so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And also I want to emphasize on how important it was to having the prototyping team creating different notebooks that we can use to test and fine tune different models. As Manu was saying, the embedding models, there are plenty of them, but also there are solutions a bit more evolved than embeddings like Colbert, which I will encourage people to try and test. But having those notebooks that we can just pick up the model and, like, especially with Bedrock, we will plug and play every model. There's every week or every 2 weeks, there's a new model. We can just plug it in, test it against our dataset. As Manu was saying, that we got a labeled dataset, which is, I think, it's also very important. So it's very those notebooks that we got and that we are still using to this day. Those were very important. And also, once you decide which models to use, getting those models into production, embeddings are easy. But once you get more complex models, it's not trivial to put them into production. And having the prototyping team helping us getting those models into production and scaling those models were also very helpful.
And Joaquin, that iterative approach in refining the questions, the answers that are generated for your tax advisors as they're helping your end customers, so important to that mission that you had of helping people.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've gone a lot through how to improve the time that they spend the tax advisors or reducing like the costs, but there's also like this huge part of enhancing the user experience. It's all about the customers, and we need to make them, or we fight for making every feature like better for the users. And here, as we have been talking, like we call this tax AI copilot Adri, and I think like it has also helped pursuing this improved user satisfaction in three pieces. Like the first one is that they actually, like the tax advisor can answer faster. So by having like a generated response on the site. They just have to look at it. They can review it. They can edit it, or they can just send it. But either of those cases is much faster than just having to elaborate the response from scratch. So the second one is that it has like an homogeneous response. You have like the tone, the politeness, the structure of the answer. It's homogeneous between all the answers because you put AI to elaborate those answers. If not, for example, like you can contact us at 8 a.m. and then at 10 p.m. and it's going to be different tax advisors that know your case, but they're going to have like their own personal style. But it's going to be a little bit like unsettling if one answer is in one way and the other is in another. So this also helps with the user satisfaction. And finally, like how it elaborates the answers with examples. So when the AI gives a response, it gives you like a detailed response on everything, but it also sometimes it does a very naive or simple example where you can relate to what you are asking, and they will actually like give the user the understanding on why something is being applied, why can I do this tax rate, or why I cannot put this dependent on my tax return. So this enhancement in the user experience, I think, is crucial for us as well.
Absolutely. And so where are we now? When is tax season in Spain?
Yeah, we just finished it. So here in Spain, tax season goes through April, May, and June. So we just finished it. We are actually now trying to like do post-mortem, like seeing when what went well, what didn't. But I think that in terms of our solution, it went really well. We were able to reply to twice as many tickets as we did last year with only a few more tax experts. So that's on track for our target of not needing that many tax experts, right? And being able to scale with software. And also more important, I mean, really important too, is as I was mentioning X-Ray, having all those traces allow us to collect a lot of feedback. First from the generations, and we can replay each step because being a seasonal business as we are, we develop for 9 months for only testing 3 months of the business, right? So now with all those traces, we can replay every step that we want in every iteration that we do of the whole solution or a specific model that we want to try. So as we were talking about iterative work, I think this is the way to go. And it was that feedback is going to be priceless.
That's fantastic. And Joaquin, what's next for TaxDown?
Totally. Like in terms of the user, like this, like the fact that we know more about AI and that we have built this knowledge in-house is going to unlock a whole new possibilities in terms of how to give new features to the user. For example, like I think this conversational AI revolution is going to change how you interface or how a user interfaces with a company. And I think like coming for the next months, maybe a year, we will work on think how this conversational can happen between the user and TaxDown. So maybe it's just text-based, maybe it's voice-based, like we don't know, but I think it's going to revolutionize in general how you interact with the solutions that you need. And then in terms of business, like we have a great business in Mexico going. It's growing at a good rate. And our ambition is to keep expanding internationally. Then we have the products to other businesses or B2B lines where we put our technology in disposition to third parties so that they can use the information from tax agencies to do their KYC processes. Think about banks, insurers, and so on. And finally, we also want to expand the vision of TaxDown and have TaxDown not only be the tax advisor that you go for your taxes, but also for any dealings with public administrations. So think of TaxDown as your go-to solution for anything that you can do or have to do with a public administration.
Exciting, exciting future ahead, isn't it? Well, I appreciate you all being here. And I'm wondering, as we close, if you have any reflections or something that you would like to share with our listeners who might be undergoing a similar transformation in their business. Manuel, I'll start with you.
For me, it's all about the speed that this is taking, right? So the technology is evolving so fast that I would say everybody needs to start thinking about how they are leveraging it. And the best way, as we've discussed several times today, for me is to have a clear framework that will allow you to leverage that speed, right? So don't think about one model as the final solution, but try and test and iterate fast and keep adding on that.
Mm-hmm. Alvaro, how about you?
Yeah, just to continue on what Manu said, for being able to iterate and test, you need first a real problem that you want to work on, and also collect a data set of examples that you're going to be using for creating your solution. So once you get you know what the problem you're trying to solve, collect as many examples of the input that you will be using and also what's the expected output. So you can test all those models or the solution, right? Don't follow the hype. Don't believe everything that is said in LinkedIn. And real solutions are much complex than it looks in a Jupyter notebook. And getting good accuracy, as I was saying, is very hard. So create your own internal benchmark. Every time that a new model comes claiming to be a state of the art, test it against your benchmark. Because based on your specific use case or domain, it may not be the best one and maybe a different one. So having your internal benchmark, something that you can test very quick and test it is really useful. And I will advise everyone to create that.
And Joaquin, final words for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So thinking about how to tackle AI from an existing company perspective, I think as Alvaro and Manu were saying, you need to have a winner use case. Because AI is a very complex realm. You are always, you're going to find walls that you have to climb. You're going to go to no advancement and then have to turn all around. And then if you do this with an existing, business, problem, or let's put it another way, to drive, a business value that you already know, then all the resources that you're going to put into, the people and the time, is going to be towards improving something that is already happening. So you can still be committing those resources. And in the end, AI is so versatile that you will end up improving. However, if you see it from a new feature perspective, then it's going to become very complex because you need to get these regular things or complexities that you have on a feature, adoption, retention, business value, and charging the customer, plus all the AI complexities, how do I do this? What options do I have? All the experimentation that we went through, it has to happen at the same time that you don't really understand, if you are actually building a feature that gives value to the customer and to you. So that wrapping up, that would be my advice. Find a use case to improve the business and then focus on how to improve AI there.
Fantastic. Well, Joaquin, Alvaro, and Manuel, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your journey with us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you.